This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Last year, the Ministry of Youth and Sports, together with EPIC, launched a program called MyCorps. Modeled after the American Peace Corps, MyCorps is an initiative designed to inculcate the values of leadership, volunteerism, and service in Malaysian youth. In the studio with me today to talk about all this are Clarissa Chang, the Executive Director of EPIC DNA, and Arina Rashid, the Recruitment and Experience Coordinator at MyCorps. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's great to be here today.
Clarissa, how did the idea for this project come about?
Well, it's really the brainchild of KJ, YB KJ, and what he wanted to do is provide a platform for the youth of Malaysia to make a positive impact, where they can have an opportunity to serve abroad and as well when they come back to their country and learn really tangible skills like leadership, personal development, and also in vocational things like building and cooking.
And from what I understand, it's modeled after the American Peace Corps, where college grads volunteer abroad for 2 years. How will MyCorps work?
Yes, it was inspired by the Peace Corps, but so the similarities that we have with the Peace Corps is that we do serve abroad and there is service training before they go. But other than that, there's not that much similarities with it because we are actually sent. Well, in the Peace Corps, they're sent one at a time, so it's more like solo deployment. But over here, it's a team deployment, and it's a lot about the team. And in Peace Corps, it's 2 months. Over here, they're sent for 3 months. And over here, also, they're going to have post-service training when they come back. So it's very service-based learning environment where they can really work together in a team and work together as a community and build relationships with the community in Cambodia as well. So we're very focused on really understanding what it is the community in Cambodia needs and how we can go and impact and help them.
We'll get to the community in Cambodia and the work that's going to be done in Cambodia, but back to the Peace Corps briefly. An MOU was recently signed between MyCorps and the Peace Corps. How closely do the two work together?
Actually, I think the MOU was signed with the Peace Corps in the very beginning of their discussions. So I think the KBS actually started their discussions with the Peace Corps in 2010, so quite a while ago. And that's when they signed the MOU and they shared a lot of their information on how they work, their structure, and things like that. But the most recent MOU that was signed was actually between Prime Minister Najib and Prime Minister Hun Sen of Cambodia. And it's more of a recognition of the government-to-government work that we're going to be doing in Malaysia and Cambodia together.
Arina, you are the Recruitment and Experience Coordinator. What does your role entail?
Okay, basically what I did with this whole MyCorps program is that I oversee the application and the registration of the potential volunteers, and I also like help them like in transitioning from the service training towards the actual mission in Cambodia, as this happened in previous to pilot program and the mission one. So the recruitment, like, we go through all the application and the selection process and all that that took before we announce the final volunteers that will be served for the mission.
How are volunteers selected? So if that's the process of looking through, you know, who's eligible to be a volunteer?
Okay, it's basically open to all Malaysian youth aged from 18 to 30. So in any range, it could be like for those who like fresh graduates, or you, if either you're working, you can still apply for it as long as you can commit to the program. And we do select them based on the like the skills that they put inside the application and also from the video that they send to us, which is like we analyze it based on that video and few criteria that have been set up prior to that.
What brought you to MyCorps? You were a network management engineer, right?
Yeah.
How did it happen?
Okay, actually, I took break from my job like back in 2013, and I came across this article about MyCorps that they are launching it for the pilot program, which is last year. And I saw the article, and I go on Twitter, and I saw the YBKJ actually like tweet about that. And yeah, I just signed up, and yeah, thank God I was for that, for the pilot program.
And here you are.
Yeah.
Clarissa, EPIC is best known for EPIC Homes, which brings people together to build sustainable homes. We've had EPIC Homes on the show before as well. You lead EPIC DNA. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about DNA?
Yeah, I would love to. So DNA is our growth and learning arm of EPIC. And what it stands for is discover, nurture, and actualize. So what we do there is we help people discover their passion, nurture their skills, and actualize their dreams. So it's all very big concepts. But what we really do on a day-to-day is just provide opportunities for people to make a good impact by, you know, serving the community around them, whether it's, you know, the underprivileged or whether it's just in their everyday life, you know, how to just be a better person, how to be a blessing to the people around you. And I think on top of that, it's also how do you level yourself up in terms of personal development? What opportunities are there out there where you can really challenge yourself and grow yourself? And it also gives the gives you a community that you can rely on with like-minded people that hold you accountable to this growth. And that's just what we're trying to do here at EPIC DNA.
How did that match up to what you wanted to do with MyCore?
Actually, very, very well. So at MyCore, that's their whole vision as well, you know, challenging the people with who have this sense of adventure, who want to try new things, but also challenging them to do it in a responsible way where they can make a positive impact and giving them this opportunity to together make a big difference and impact not only communities in Cambodia, but also when they come back to Malaysia. So like a wonderful thing about all of our first mission, MyCore people and volunteers, is that once they came back from their mission abroad in Cambodia, they were so inspired, they actually started their own missions in KL because they had this community and they had this new sense of responsibility to the world around them where they're suddenly inspired and they're suddenly empowered to go and make that difference and to go and, you know, look for opportunities where they can serve and opportunities where they can make an impact.
And to run a program like this, you know, it doesn't come for free. How is MyCore funded?
So MyCore is funded predominantly by KBS, actually completely by KBS. But we are looking for ways for the next cohort to make it more sustainable, where they will be doing things like fundraising and going out and seeing how better ways that we can make it sustainable.
We talked about Cambodia earlier, and the pilot mission to Angkor Ban took place last December 7th, involving 40 Malaysians. How did it go?
It went well, I think, because for last year's mission for the pilot, I'm also one of the participants, the volunteers. So the whole program would say that we viewed it as a successful mission, which is our mission last year was to build like 19 latrines for the community in Angkor Ban, which is like cover like mostly the poor area of the villagers. And we have to build 19 latrines together with the rainwater catchment where the villagers can actually, you know, reserve the rainwater before the like hot season or the, you know, the El Nino and all the things. And they have the rainwater, you know, to sustain throughout the hot season. And also we do some like local villagers engagement, which is we do some activities with the school kids and also the villagers, which is like farming and all that. We follow, we break into groups and follow the villagers doing their daily activities like planting, you know, taking care of the cows and all that. So it's such an amazing experience, you know, for us, like most of us coming from the city, not from the village. So I think this experience really taught us to be like more, you know, on the human side, you know, just appreciate what you have and, you know, and those people that maybe like what you see is not that what you think, you know, you go there with this mind that, oh, what they need, that kind of thing, you know, but when you're there, you think, oh, they can live in this way that, and this is enough for them. And how they live and incorporate themselves into that situation so that you also can learn from that.
And Well, you talked earlier about how volunteers, I mean, part of why they're picked is based on their skill set as well.
Yeah.
So considering the task here was to build latrines, yeah. to consider water supply, to be a part of helping farmers and so on, what kind of skill sets were you looking for in this first cohort?
The skills that we need most is your eagerness to learn. You know, it doesn't have to, you come with the specialized skill that required for this project, but when you have the eagerness, the spirit of learning, then you can overcome that. Because for me, I don't have the, from my previous experience, I don't have those kind of skill that need for farming or build something. But even during the service training, we were equipped with this training, like how to like build things, like simple things. So from there, we learn as we go, like on-job training somehow.
Yeah. I'd just like to add on a little bit to what Arena was saying about the success of that program and how, you know, when she was part of the participants who went through it, I think a really beautiful thing is being able to watch them grow through this. And, you know, how do you prepare them? We actually, I mean, she answered it beautifully that all you need is that eagerness to learn, because that service training does provide an opportunity for you to just learn all of these new skills and really get yourself equipped before you go there. And then when you go there, you see all of these amazing things that you can do together. And it's not just, you know, all these fluffy, like, oh, yeah, I came back with great friends, but you also see, you know, 19 latrines that are being built. You see the families that you are building for, and you really do get that sense of human connection. And actually, on our last trip to Cambodia, we heard back from RWC, who are our partners in Cambodia, that that village, Angkor Ban, is actually 100% open defecation free now, as of our last project there.
That's so, our, like, for the pilot program, that's one of the focus, you know, to help they achieve a more healthy situation, environment for their lives.
Yeah.
I'm speaking today with Clarissa Chang, Executive Director of Epic DNA, and Arena Rashid, Recruitment and Experience Coordinator for MyCorps. And we're talking about MyCorps, which is an international volunteering program. We've been discussing their pilot project in Cambodia. Up next, we find out what were the key learnings and key mistakes from that experience. You are listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Clarissa Chang, Executive Director of Epic DNA, and Arena Rashid, Recruitment and Experience Coordinator for MyCorps. And it's MyCorps that we're talking about, which is an international volunteering program for Malaysian youth. We've been discussing also how Cambodia, Angkor Ban specifically, was the first site of the first project site. But why was Cambodia chosen, firstly? Let's talk about that. I mean, why Cambodia?
I mean, for many reasons. One, because we definitely wanted to go overseas to you know, serve in Cambodia, and because it's part of the, you know, close neighboring countries. We have good government-to-government relations with them, and also because they have very good grassroots opportunities for us to really make a tangible difference over there with, you know, they're part of the WHO stats in terms of, like, the open defecation and things like that. And I've learned so much in doing this program where, you know, actually every year more people die from lack of hygiene and sanitation purposes than, you know, guns and bombs. So I feel like this is a really great opportunity to really make a difference in neighboring countries and then bring it back here to Malaysia, you know.
Did you guys look at any other places? I mean, we have the thing about the beauty of being in ASEAN is we have a lot of neighboring countries, mm-hmm. you know, which is very nearby.
Yeah, definitely. We looked around. There's a lot of opportunities, and we will eventually go there. But we also really like that we've developed this relationship with the NGOs that are existing, and we don't want it to be like a touch and go kind of, you know, program or project.
What were the key learnings or mistakes from that experience? Now that it's done, you know, obviously you'd want to be able to take away a lot of learnings from it. What happened?
So many. So first off, I would like to say our name, MyCorps. So it's MyCorps. And a lot of people mispronounce that very often. Also, I think when we're asking people to sign on and check out www.mycorps.my, it's MyCorps again. So just little things like that. I feel like you pick it up as you go and you learn a lot more. I think for me personally, also we decided this time to make it longer. We wanted to make the training longer, make sure that the people are really prepared before they go over there, not just with, you know, the tangible skills of building and cooking and things like that, but mentally prepared, spiritually, yeah. You know, physically even. It's a lot of hard work over there, and it's long hours and it's hot sun, and this time, you know, they're over there right now. They're going to be doing the fasting period, but they're all doing great. Their spirits are up high, and that's what I think is really great about it too. You really get a chance to test yourself and push yourself, and this is one of those opportunities where it is once in a lifetime, and you'll never be in that kind of situation again with these kind of like-minded people. And yeah, so I think another key learning from that is that trust them, you know, trust the volunteers that they can really rise above and beyond, and giving them this opportunity to do so, they'll surprise you in how amazing they all can be and how much they grow, you know. It's really funny because on the first day, a lot of them come and we're like, oh my gosh, can we do this? Is this going to be a good enough, you know, are we prepared to train these people and send them abroad for 3 months? Because it's not a short time, you know?
Yeah, and even from the volunteers' view, they all reach the training center like, oh, can we do this? Can we do that? But once the mission starts, and they all like very in a very good spirit, and as the projects go on, as the, you know, the time goes on, they know, oh, anyhow, oh, I can do it. You know, it's not possible when you put your mind to it.
Yeah. So it's really just, I think when we extended the length of the training program, really giving them the tools and the empowerment and the responsibility that it's on them to go out there and make a difference, they rise up to the challenge, and it's so nice to see.
So my core is both international and local volunteering, from what I understand. Is that right?
No. So it's all international, but mm-hmm. they come back and they do volunteering within the local scheme as well. So we organize some of the local places for them to volunteer, but the dream or the idea is that they will go out and find different missions that they can go in and volunteer at, or maybe not even just volunteer, but go and make a difference.
There are the reason why I ask is because there are high need communities here in Malaysia mm-hmm. as well. There are people working with disadvantages here too. Are there local missions planned?
Yes and no. So when we do our trainings, we do pair up with a lot of different NGOs here, where we send out our volunteers for them to go and you know, make an impact. But the idea is that they will really want to find something that's close to their heart, that they really want to go and make a difference on their own. And now they have this community to do so. And that's part of the big training program that we do when they come back as well, is to really, if they still feel underprepared, to prepare them and introduce them to all of these different organizations that are out there and all these different causes, and to let them know that, you know, they don't have to do it alone. They now have these like 50 new people and 50 new friends that they can work with. And also we introduce them to these different NGOs that are existing that they can go and do something amazing at, or maybe even start their own causes. It doesn't have to be NGOs that exist already.
You can start one
yourself, and it as little as, you know, cleaning up the rubbish down the street and things like that. So at Epic we also have this platform called Sedunia, where you can measure the impact that you're making, and you can find people to come and do these small things with you. And I think that's really at the heart of what we're trying to do here. Let people take on that responsibility in their own lives and have that heart to serve the community around them.
As you mentioned earlier, you know, you can't just send people abroad for 3 months because it's not a short period of time. Why 3 months?
I think 3 months is just the right amount of time where you're really pushed, you know, to your limits. For 2 weeks, you can kind of hide, you can yeah. shy away from, you know, maybe not doing the bulk of the work, maybe not taking a leadership role. But for 3 months, you can't hide from any of that. And you're going to have to step up. You're going to have to challenge yourself. They're staying in situations where, you know, sometimes they don't have electricity. Sometimes there's no clean water. So they have to really think on their feet, and they have to problem solve. They have to sort out their own personal issues with each other, not to mention the people around, like the community around them as well. And just learning that adaptability, I think after 3 months and you've been through that challenge, you'll feel like you can survive anything.
Arina, how many volunteers are there going to be in this cohort?
Okay, for Mission 2, we're looking for another 50 volunteers. And I would like to highlight here that Mission 1 is still ongoing in Cambodia now. And the good news is our volunteer just finished the plant nursery yesterday, which is they have the ceremony along with the villagers and the communities, you know, cutting the ribbon and food festival and all that with the local villagers. And for the next mission, we're looking for another 50 volunteers to serve for also the same duration of 3 months. And the assignments will be different with this one, you know. But we're still keeping it for our like focus on the providing the clean water to the local people, you know. So the next mission will be around that idea, which is like with the water for Cambodia and also rainwater for Cambodia, which is like more on the rainwater catchment system, and also like try to fundraise to provide them with a water filter, because they're in the villages, like very like rural area, that because we targeting in that area, they like simply drinking from the like maybe like reservoir or the pond or the river, which is not very hygiene. But we want to educate them on that, you know, so that we want to provide them with a better health and hygiene level, which is like can contribute to their like quality of life. So this volunteer for the next mission two, which is might be starting in September. So yeah, I hope that we have that you know, the passionate people that will sign up for this one.
Earlier we talked about how 3 months is a good thing for it's enough for people to feel like, well, once you've done that, you can survive anything, mm-hmm. you know, and it's certainly a significant amount of time for them. But for the community who continues to live there, mm-hmm. who will continue to use the facilities, who have to keep it going, really, is 3 months enough to make a meaningful or sustainable change for them?
Yeah, we definitely think so. And that's why we've gone back twice again to Cambodia, and specifically Phnom Penh, because we it's not a touch-and-go thing. And when we do work with the NGOs over there, they have their own community engagement team. They will do the follow-ups after we're done over there. They make sure that everything is integrated in a very natural way and organic. They will follow up with the community. They already have their own relationships with the community there as well. And so we're very specific about the NGOs that we choose to work with and the projects that we choose to take on when we're there, because we really don't want it to be like a touch and go. Oh, we feel good about ourselves, but the community over there is left with, you know, somebody who came in and built something that we don't even know how to use. So we're very intentional about that, and I think that it's done in a very nice, sustainable, long-term way. And we do encourage the volunteers when they're out there to build that relationship with them. And if they see any opportunities that they want to come back with a different group or something like that, by all means, do.
How is success measured? What metrics are you using?
Well, there's the tangible things, like how many latrines we built, how many catchment areas we're building, how many nurseries, how many playgrounds. So those kind of things that we build up, but also in terms, I think, of our volunteers that we are building as well, in terms of just tracking their growth and watching them. We do have this method of 360-degree
leadership.
Well, it's not just leadership. It's a 360-degree measurement of success that we teach during our training as well, where they're measured by, you know, their character, their charisma, their confidence, like things that they really build throughout this whole program. And also they keep a journal where they do a lot of reflection, where all of these things that they learn along their way, they can take back with them and look back upon like later on in life as well.
The Ministry of Youth and Sports has a target of producing 100 volunteers this year. What has the response been like so far?
The response is very good. You know, we have reached like more people than previous one, because now we keep on like receiving the application and also the emails asking about the details of the project and the mission. And soon we will start with our roadshow with the clubs, youth clubs and everything, so that we hope that we can reach more people who really like enthusiasts in you know, making changes for the community, for themselves, for the whole environment as well. And I think this is like very good opportunity for everybody to join. You know, you never know what you can gain from this kind of program.
How do you prepare volunteers before their deployments? You know, we talked a little bit about the training that happens and the training that happens after. But if I'm somebody who's deploying, what would I expect my experience to be? What would it be like?
Life-changing. No, we bring them all together before they go, and we give them, of course, the you know, life skills of, we teach them how to cook, we teach them how to clean, we teach them first aid, and we teach them, you know, what to do in emergency situations, basically, the numbers to call and things like that. All of the must ticks off, the things that you tick off when you're doing a training program. But we also teach them leadership, and we link in, you know, service opportunities, like we were saying just now in Malaysia, where they go out and they meet the community and they serve the community, and they really get this sense of satisfaction and sense of community with not just the people that they're volunteering with, but also the community around them. So it's really, when we say we want to do a whole training program, we do test them before they even get sent there. We send them to a jungle induction where they learn how to set up their tents, set up a camp, how to do all of these kind of survival skills. And when they're put in these kind of situations, those situations are where they can really test out what they've learned in the leadership and in the classroom setting. Like, what do I do here in terms of, you know, managing my own personality, my own expectations of other people, and I guess just preparing them for not just their mission in Cambodia, but also when they come back to Malaysia and dealing with real life. You're always going to have situations that you're not happy with, you know, and people that you're not, that you don't want to work with. But the best way to do that and deal with the things around you is to know how to change yourself and know how to deal with that.
For people who are listening now and thinking about signing up, what advice would you have to offer?
Do it.
Yeah, do it. Because for me, this is like, the chances won't come twice. You know, if you are the person that been selected, don't hesitate. Just go for it. Because for me, from my previous experience, I would say that if I was thinking this like back in few years back then, I wouldn't say that I would be doing this now. You know, maybe I'm still be an telco engineer, but for me, those experience really teach me how to, you know, engage more with the community that I'm living with. Not just that I'm going outside of Malaysia and help people, but also like the local community that I'm living with. So I think for you to sign up and, you know, looking forward for some growth opportunity, and I guess you just do it.
Yeah, and to add on to that, it really is a growth opportunity, because when we do these kind of programs, yes, it's a volunteer program, but it really is also a leadership program, and we grow leaders in every field. You know, if you're unemployed, when you come back, you'll be able to find better jobs. You will be more employable after having gone through these kind of experiences. And what we also try to do here is, for those people who are very confused about life and things like that, to help them find a bigger sense of purpose and a sense of meaning. And, you know, I feel like all of the people who've come through our program, they can testify that they've found more of a sense of clarity in what they want to do in their future. And I think if you're looking for that sense of adventure or a chance to prove yourself, grow yourself, challenge yourself, this really is a great opportunity. And on top of all of that, not to say, I don't want to take away from how like what a big deal that is, but it is also a very high level opportunity for them as well. You know, it's recognized by the government, it is done by the Ministry of Youth and Sports, and it's when you have that and you have that experience, you know, I think it's something that you can take with you for life.
Yeah, I can add to that that actually, like, when we have this kind of discussion, we were like, oh, MICO is not only like a volunteer program, it's also like a leadership program, and also that we want to create a person that, you know, take initiative in their own homeland, so that we don't want only a leader, but we also want people that can initiate something. So that's the focus as well.
Mm-hmm. Where can we go to find out more about the program?
Log on to www.mycorps.my. And I think all of your information will be there.
Yeah, about the mission, the whole timeline, the schedule, and all the FAQ as well. So you can check on the website. And also, we have our own official Facebook and Twitter account. So you just type MyCorps, MyCorps. So then you can find it. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Yeah.
Thank you, ladies, for coming in. I've been speaking with Clarissa Chang, Executive Director of Epic DNA, and Arina Rashid, Recruitment and Experience Coordinator for MyCorps, which is an international volunteering program and is spelled MYCORPS, as I'm sure they'd both want me to remind you. Yeah. You're listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.